Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
What do you say to those critics out there who say, well, you know, they couldn't sustain what they were doing for a whole year? You did. When they point to the somewhat poor possession numbers of the Montreal Canadiens and they kind of refer to you guys as lucky, what would you say to that?
Well, I watch every game that our team play. I'm watching our team. So I don't need numbers to tell me if we had the puck or we didn't have the puck. I look at scoring chance. I look at momentum changing, at big save. I look at special teams on both sides. So to watch our team play, I think, you know, time will tell where it gets us.
Yeah, it's fun. I like playing in loud environments, and from the one game I did play there, it is a noisy arena, and I think that's just something that makes the game more fun to play.
Ah, but you ain't heard nothing yet, Andrew Hammond. Mark Bergevin with us in the last half hour. Welcome back. It's playoff time. It's that time of the year. Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690, hour number 4. Mitch Melnick with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, David Trentadue helping us out big time again today. And every Monday at this time, a little after 6, we welcome award-winning writer and broadcaster, Mr. Michael Farber. How are you?
I'm terrific, although a little disappointed in the play-in music for me this time.
Yeah, what were you hoping for?
Well, and you would know it better than I. Sunglasses, he wears sunglasses at night.
So that would be Corey Hart, yes.
Okay, because we have Max Pacioretty in a tinted visor. So I just thought that, wow.
Ah, okay, I wasn't thinking in those terms. In fact, I wasn't thinking about anything other than something jumpy, you know?
Yeah, no, playoffs get me jumpy, but now we'll have Max Pacioretty, perhaps, in game one with a tinted visor going all OV on us, Alex Ovechkin. Matt Calvert, I'm sure you know the
yes.
name, Columbus Blue Jackets, yep. Late last month. He sustained a concussion, and he came back with a tinted visor. The reason, of course, is a classic sign of concussion is sensitivity to light. And I might have told this story, it bears telling again. 20 years ago now, 1995, I sat in the living room of Al Toon, former wide receiver with the Jets, who played at the University of Wisconsin, and he, 5 or 6 years after his career had ended, had to sit in darkened rooms because he was still sensitive to light. And he had a slew of concussions, and not related to Pacioretty's, other than the fact that the physiology of concussion is the same. Your axon shear, and there you go. Your synapses go kerblooey. So when you see that kind of tinted visor, you're saying, ah, concussion. So it's the math here, or whatever it is pretty simple.
Yeah, I would say common sense. So what do you make of when he's asked straight out today, right?
I think at this point of the year, I have an obligation to say that I have an upper body injury. And, you know, obviously you don't want to give anybody, you know, a little bit of a competitive edge by telling what it really is. But, you know, right now I have an upper body injury, but I feel really good.
I mean, there are no secrets in the NHL. Everybody saw the play when he got hit. He slammed his back above his head against the boards hard, and he was out momentarily. And he's wearing a tinted visor in practice to try to come back. I mean, come on.
Well, we go back to the 08 playoffs, Pittsburgh-Detroit, the Stanley Cup final, when I believe it was Johan Franzen playing for Detroit, and Gary Robertson with the Penguins punched him in the head because Franzen had just come back from a concussion. And that's the feral nature of the NHL. So that's the way it goes. I love the old diagonal rule. I remember one time describing this, and Dr. Lenzner, remember Eric Lenzner?
Sure, I still see him occasionally in Lower
West.
Lovely
fellow. And he said he almost drove off the road because I described the diagonal rule as this. When a team tells you a player has hurt his left ankle, that means he's hurt his right shoulder. You just go up the diagonal of the body. So that was silly, and this is sillier. And that's why, you know, whether it's the guy has the flu, he has an inner body injury. It's just become the way it's done. The only way it'll ever change is if gambling becomes a bigger deal than it is in the NHL, and fans, gamblers, just won't accept it. They want better injury data as you get from the NFL every week.
Yeah. So when they have a team in Vegas, we'll probably get some inside information. Michael Farber, Sports Illustrated, and TSN every Monday after 6.
We just have to find out what they did well against us and try and eliminate those things, at least combat them. I'm sure they're probably going to be watching tape on us to do the exact same thing.
So have at it here, Michael, 2 days before the series starts. What are your initial feelings about a Montreal-Ottawa matchup?
I think it'll be a terrific matchup, a long series. You look at what Ottawa has done to get to the playoffs, and you wonder how long can it be sustained. Teams have gone on runs like this before. You look at the Los Angeles Kings, for example, forcing their way into the eighth place position in the West a couple years ago and carried it right through the playoffs. I think that was a much better LA Kings team than the current Ottawa Senators team. So when you look at the Senators and say, well, there has to be an Icarus syndrome here. Remember, Icarus flew too close to the sun and boom, he crashed. His wings melted, and you figure, well, the Icarus syndrome is going to hit this club at some point. They're going to realize, hey, we're the Ottawa Senators and we're just not that good. But they are playing absolutely lights out. Mark Stone just has emerged as a terrific scorer and a plausible Calder Trophy winner. They score with two lines, and even though Bobby Ryan has been in a slump, they're quick. They're good through the neutral zone. They have a similar defenseman to P.K. Subban and Erik Karlsson, one who's even more prolific and more of a risk-taker. And their goaltending has been good, real good. Hammond has been especially good in the third period. The way to beat the Canadiens, I think, came from the Rangers last year. That was the blueprint. And as much as we like to talk about the Chris Kreider crease crashing, a lot of it was just slowing Montreal down and through the neutral zone. Canadiens were a quick team, are a quick team, and if you take away those opportunities, Montreal, which tends not to score, has even more trouble. Of course, the Canadiens did a better job of scoring 5-on-5 and in recent years. We're in the top, I believe, 5. And that's what they're going to need to do against the Senators.
Before Rod jumps in here, another run. A real good run of recent vintage that people tend to forget about because they didn't win the cup. Remember the Flyers got in the final day of the season when the Rangers lost a shootout? And they were down 0-3 to Boston, and they rolled all the way to the Stanley Cup final with Michael Layton as their goaltender.
Exactly, and that things can happen. Brian Boucher got hurt, and Michael Layton got in. It was a very odd circumstance, and they're down 3-0, and then Simone Gagné, who got healthy, and David Krejci got hurt, and that momentum changed. Miroslav Chatan had a chance to put it away in Game 4 in Philly, and he didn't. In fact, I believe it was Gagné who scored the overtime winner in Game 4 to prolong it, and indeed in Game 7, the Bruins, who had been up 3-0 in the series, were up 3-0 in that game in the first period and ended up losing.
I don't know if this could be a side effect of Icarus syndrome, but are you a believer in happy to be there itis, and could it affect the Senators?
No, not at all. They worked so hard to get where they are, and the conviction they played with. And then we go back to Ottawa's game against Pittsburgh when they were down 3-0 early a week or so ago, and the way they came back. And they played the third period and won it in overtime. The conviction that team has is frightening. Now, there are people saying, well, you know, they should have tanked that last one. Detroit would have been an easier matchup. I hate that talk, absolutely hate that talk, because it undermines the very tenets of sport. It's anti-sport as far as I'm concerned. Stanley Cups are always going to be difficult. Sometimes tanking works. We've seen it in the Olympics. We saw it when Sweden lost to Slovakia in 06 because they wanted to avoid Canada, got Switzerland, ended up winning a gold medal. I still hate it, and I still tease Daniel Alfredsson about it every time I see him. I much prefer play it straight up. And some Stanley Cups are harder than others, and maybe it's a little bit harder for Montreal this time, but the last two cups, they had a hard series against Quebec in in 93, and then two easy series because Buffalo was injured and the Islanders were exhausted and upsetting Pittsburgh. You go back to 86, and it's sort of the same deal. They don't have to play the Edmonton Oilers in the final because Calgary did the dirty work in the Smythe final. So, you know, you take what's presented to you. And now it's the Ottawa Senators. There was a terrific series a couple of years ago. Great emotion, good hockey. And I look forward to it. And I hope all Montreal Canadiens fans do as well. Not fearful, just anxious and interested.
Would you be okay with me calling Andrew Hammond Icarus for the rest of the series?
Icarus, sure. I would, because I remember on TSN one night Ron Wilson says, we expect the meltdown. Well, the Wings haven't melted, and he has played great. He is not nearly the goalie Carey Price is. Remember, he was he's a 27-year-old journeyman who had poor numbers in Binghamton in the American Hockey League, and he came up, and there it happens. We've seen this before. Remember, Mike Moffitt with the Bruins ended up starting 1 year. Harry Sinden was asked why. He says, well, he made a save, and I got excited. we saw it with Steve Penny in 1984 here in Montreal. And Canadians reached the conference finals against a really good Islanders team, making one final run. That was the 19th straight series that the 84 Islanders ended up capping off. They ended up losing to Edmonton in the Stanley Cup final. So we've seen goalies get hot. This guy is as hot as it can be, and his wings have not melted.
Well, Gallo, that's your assignment, all right, before the series starts, is to ask Andrew Hammond about Icarus, if he has any idea who or what Icarus was, if he studied Greek mythology. We know he studied hockey. He's gone to school. He's 27, and he's a rookie. But we don't know about his Greek mythology knowledge.
To put on this jacket is incredible. This feels great. I plan on not taking it off for quite a while. It was a test. There's a reason I have a hairline like this right now, and that's because it's stressful what we do on a daily basis. And
there's your Masters winner at age 21. You know, this is the anniversary of Tiger winning at age 21 with the exact same score back in 1997.
We're looking at a savant, and I always thought that Spieth, who was playing PGA events in Texas, when he was a teenager, he was 16, was going to win a major at some point because his short game is so good. But I didn't think he was as good a ball striker as he seems to be. Rory McIlroy can overwhelm a course. We saw that a couple of years ago at the U.S. Open at Congressional. He can do dangerous things, as could Tiger Woods. You didn't expect that kind of play from Spieth. You expected him to win, but you didn't expect him to be at one point 19 under at Augusta, which is the record, and finish at 18 under. It was stunning golf, and Sunday wasn't all that interesting. He cleared the water, I guess that's on 13, and that was that. No one got within more than three strokes of his lead, and it was poised, and he was really good on the greens, and he hit the ball when he had to. The mistake on Saturday on 17, the double, and yet he comes back and has a terrific par save on 18. And now we get to look forward to talking about Spieth and McIlroy, and blessedly we don't have to dwell on Tiger Woods constantly.
So 5 years from now, assuming good health, this is the real thing, what we saw here over the weekend.
Oh, I think he is the real thing, and he'll win a couple more majors at some point. But to me, Rory McIlroy has the best game, and not by a little. He seemed a little bit out of sorts and still put together a credible tournament. And indeed, it was fun to see Woods, at least in the discussion, through Saturday. And so what we thought might be Steve Sachs' disease, when he was chipping so poorly a few months ago now, he seemed to have got that under control, and he looks like he can play well again, and maybe like Nicklaus in 86 at Augusta, maybe Tiger Woods will win another major.
So I can keep track of the visions in my eyes.
Like you can't tell this is from the 80s, huh?
Yeah.
Always great talking to you, Michael. We're going to see you at the Bell Center.
We'll see you Wednesday night.
All right. Look forward to it. Michael Farber every Monday. Thank you.
Mel Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.